Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 114, and today is Thursday, March 14th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so yesterday was a rather exciting evening for me, and I'm going to unpack why. So if you are someone who follows me on Twitter or, you know, is in general in any way interested in tech news, you probably heard that yesterday Google announced that they're doing what they call spring cleaning. And as part of that spring cleaning, they're killing off a bunch of products and restructuring some things. And one of the more significant parts is that they are killing the Google Reader RSS aggregator. They're just taking it out back and never seeing it again. And so that was interesting to me because I think I mentioned it in vague and general terms before on the show, but for the last couple of months, I've been working on a alternative RSS reader aggregator service slash app. And so that rather, you know, their announcement, while not unexpected, I think it's something that a lot of people have been thinking about was going to happen and sort of knew was going to be coming at some point, that kind of changed my timeline a little bit. I'd always been hoping to launch it sometime, probably early June around WWDC. And I'd been hoping that, you know, Google would, you know, Sunset Reader or announce that, you know, so sometime thereafter. Well, it turns out I wasn't quite fast enough and Google went ahead and announced that they're killing it before I was quite ready to launch. But so far, I think things will go okay. And I just kind of wanted to talk through a little bit of the backstory, a little bit of an overview of it, and kind of explain where it's coming from. And it seemed like a good venue to do that and kind of unpack that a little bit. So basically, I've been very frustrated with Google Reader for a while. And I think the thing that frustrates me about it is that it doesn't seem like a great metaphor for handling RSS. For the way that it does it isn't – it feels very – I don't know. It feels very old or dated or kind of just overly – stuck in the past. It feels a bit like, you know, it's like they treat RSS as a way, you know, almost like it's an email or something that I'm getting, you know, it's like rather than I'm subscribing to a feed, it's kind of like I'm subscribing to a listserv and just sort of getting push notifications all the time into an inbox. And that never really sat well with me. It doesn't work with the way that I use RSS. I probably check RSS probably more than I should, and probably, you know, maybe 10-15 times a day I'll check my RSS reader. I'm not the kind of person who does like who I'm not a tech sort of a tech journalist or a blogger in that kind of way, or somebody who needs to you know, constantly be on the front of it. It's just that's what part of how I like to get news. I like having a sense of awareness of what's going on. And so something that I use a lot, and whenever I hit something that I use a lot but I find really frustrating, I always try and think of, well, what could I do to replace that? What could I do to do that better? And I think I've come up with some pretty interesting ways of structuring RSS and processing it and managing it that I think will make it a lot more straightforward to use if you're someone like me who follows a lot of feeds, someone who has a lot of things that they're trying to manage and work through. And not in a sense of like I want to be able to subscribe to more feeds, but I want to have my interaction with those be more meaningful and more straightforward. And so that's essentially where I've been heading. I'm not going to get into too much of the actual details of that. I'll kind of unpack that as I go over the next couple of weeks as I get ready to launch probably – I don't exactly know when yet, but soonish is really where I'm heading. But I want to kind of get us without getting into too many of sort of the nitty gritty details of exactly how I'm doing that. I want to talk a little bit about what it will be and what that is. And I've gotten a lot of questions about it, so I kind of want to unpack what it is I'm building and what it is, why I'm doing it, and the approach I'm taking. So first, I should probably say the name of the service is Feed Wrangler. This is one of those funny things with naming where I think a lot of people can get stuck on naming something that you kind of can spend hours and hours going around and around. Feed Wrangler was just, in many ways, just the working title that I had come up with for it. And it was very, you know, sort of somewhat of a descriptive title and something that I just kind of had been throwing around and using. And then, you know, when yesterday when this happens, it's like, well, I guess that's going to be the name because I don't have anything better. And you kind of have to put a name on something if you're going to put it out. So it's Feed Wrangler. And so basically what Feed Wrangler is it's going to be a service where there's a couple of different components. There'll be obviously sort of the back end sync part of it, which is, you know, an aggregator that goes around and have a variety of your feeds and you put it in there and then it does all of its magic. But it's, you know, it's handling that for you on the back end. And that'll be sort of then wrapped around with a variety of different interfaces and ways to get at that. There'll be a web interface, though I expect the web interface is not the primary way that I want or expect people to interact with it. There'll be a web interface mostly just so that it works for everybody, and a lot of things are just easier to do on the web in terms of managing subscriptions, and a lot of those kinds of things are just easier to do on a website in an app. And then there'll be a variety of sort of first-party applications that I'll be developing for it. And initially, these are going to be on platforms that are the ones that I care about, or the ones that I – that's a bit harsh. They'll be on the platforms that I know how to develop good apps for. So initially iOS, growing onto the Mac, and potentially going somewhere else. But my expectation is at least for the next – forever, you know, probably – honestly, probably forever. That'll be the ones that I work on as first-party apps. And then there'll be an open API that any app developer on any platform can use to interact with it. And the reason I can do that is that the app, and the way that I'm going to be structuring it, is on a subscription basis. It's something that I feel pretty strongly about, that a lot of people, you know, you can kind of take a variety of different business models with this, but the kind of one that I want to do is I want to be in this for, I want to build something with a sustainable, like long-term horizon on it, that it's something that I can build and invest into and grow and really spend a lot of time making it really, really good and really, really stable. So I'm not the kind of person who's then going to be making it something that's available for free. You know, there's a lot of services, there's a lot of VC-funded companies, there's a lot of people who would take that approach, whose goal it is to see how many people they can sort of snipe off of Google Reader and put onto their platform. It's a volume game. And that's really not what I want to do with this. What I want to do is I'm going to make it a paid subscription. You know, exactly the pricing haven't quite worked out, or I'm not ready to announce yet, but it'll be something that, you know, you pay per month or you pay per year for an account. And coming with that are a lot of great benefits that I think will make that interaction much better. There's a lot of economics in being an app developer that are kind of awkward, that are kind of tricky. And we've talked about this before on the show many times, but things like not having paid upgrades makes some things kind of complicated, that it's very hard. The only way that you can make money is to get a new user, get a new download, get a new sale, which means that you kind of have to skew a little bit how you work on things and the way you work on things in kind of an odd way, that it's hard to, at least conceptually, to be investing into that first person who bought your app, because you've probably gotten a lot of all of the money that you'll ever get from them. And then you can do things to mitigate this. You can do in-app purchases. You can do kind of these a fake paid upgrade where you introduce a new app. There's those kinds of things. But what I would really want to do is I would rather have a much smaller group of people who really liked what I did, who liked my take on it, who liked the way that I did it, and who are set up on a recurring basis to pay for that service. If they're getting value from it every day, then that's awesome. And what I want to be able to do is to really focus in on that. And so my service probably won't be for everybody, but I don't really care. In that, I would far prefer to have whatever a few thousand people who liked what I did and who really used it, than to have a million people or 100,000 people or whatever it is that only you were using it because it was free, or because it was just, there was no barrier to getting into it. What I want is people who really care about this and are it's like I'm kind of choosing my customers rather than saying I want the world. I want a narrow group of people. And obviously, if it turns out a lot of people like it and it grows and grows, that's awesome. And it's like scaling becomes very easy if every person who's using your service has given you money. And so that's kind of the approach I'm taking. And the secondary benefit of that is that it really helps me with my ability to provide something like an open API for other developers to use. So what I want to do is I want to create a platform that anybody who wants to write an app, who wants to go in a different direction, who wants to do something, can build an app for. And it avoids this weird problem that if I made my money selling an app or having a one-time fee or those types of things, especially if I was making my money selling apps, it gets really complicated if other people start making apps that compete with them. If other people start doing things that are alternatives to what I'm doing, then they can kind of use the back end without paying for the front end. And so, to sort of flip that around, I'm just saying, well, if you're going to have an account, you're going to have paid for it. And if that's the case, then I want to encourage and grow and nurture as much as I can third-party developers on any platform, on competing platforms, whatever it is, to be using, you know, for using that platform as their back end. And I think that ultimately makes the user's life much better because they can get an app that is, you know, tailored to their choices or is something that they're familiar with already that just adds support. And I can do that in a way that is kind of is very, very sustainable. And so that's kind of the approach that I'm going to be taking. And so, you know, at launch, whenever that happens, there'll be, you know, a web application. There'll be a couple of kind of native first-party applications which will be free in the store because you would have already paid for the subscription. And then in many ways, those are – I wouldn't say reference implementations. They're not, you know, it's not like they're going to be fully featured clients and fully featured things that you know you could use and be happy with all the time. And you know, there are apps that I've been using actually for a while, but they're going to be in the store as a starting point for where you can go, and then you can explore out from there. Something that obviously it's maybe a bit of a stretch, but it's something that I would love to see is to have something like this be a new playground for UI concepts, be a new playground for innovative ways to display this data. I mean, I remember the sort of in some ways there was this golden age of Twitter apps where everybody kept trying to find different ways of displaying a very similar basic set of data. And that was really, really awesome in that you could, you know, you can find something that fits you exactly. And obviously it's a little complicated because, and this is something that I've written about a little bit with app.net, is, you know, depending on how many users I have will dictate exactly how attractive that is to third-party developers. But hopefully the way that I'm structuring it and the ways that I can invest in that will make that at least somewhat compelling. And hopefully the user base will be large enough that it'll be an interesting prospect as well. But what I would love to see is to have that be an area that we get into, and that by creating something that's an open and public API that anybody can write an app towards, and making that as easy as possible. You know, it's like I'm an iOS developer. I can make a nice iOS SDK. I can make integrating with my service as easy as possible because that's something that I'm very familiar with, and that's a focus of what I'll be doing. And I'll be, you know, sort of dogfooding my own API. It's like my client will be using the same API that everyone else will. And so I think there's a lot of sort of opportunity there, and then I'll just have to see where that goes and see where that ends up. But that's kind of what I'm doing, and that's what I've been working on. So I had a few other plans. I had a couple of things that I was probably going to be doing, but, as they say, you just kind of got to roll with it. And or maybe another way, it's like another adage would be that luck favors the prepared, in the sense that, you know, I'm kind of happy in terms of the way that this is playing out, and that I think I'm well positioned to take advantage of, you know, Google kind of letting go of its users and kind of turning their back on them in a way that I'll be able to hopefully provide an interesting alternative fairly quickly, and certainly before July 1st when Google Reader gets a sunset. So basically that's the overview. If you have questions about this, please let me know. I'm happy to talk about it at a high level, and then I'll be talking about exactly it's like about some of the specifics over time. So I'm obviously not going to get into exactly kind of the nuances of how I'm going to be approaching the problem and those types of things until it's ready to be kind of made more public. But if you're kind of curious about conceptually what's going to be going on and how I'm doing it, certainly stay tuned to the show. When I talked about Check the Weather, I'll kind of be talking about it. This is something I'll be talking about on the show, about kind of how I'm going about this and some of the technical things, as well as the marketing and logistical side of things. But always, you know, you can let me know on Twitter. I'm _ David Smith there. I'm David Smith on app.net. David at developingperspective.com is a great way to reach me if you have questions or thoughts. And I'm going to have a link in the show notes. I put up a sign-up form on feedwrangler.net, just one word, feedwrangler.net, and I'll have a link in the show notes. And where basically, if you're interested in the service or interested in hearing news or updates about it, kind of when it's ready for public consumption, or if I have any updates, I'm just kind of putting together a mailing list so I can send out communications to that. So go ahead and sign up there if you're interested. But otherwise, that's it. It'll be an interesting couple of weeks, couple of months, I think. But it should be pretty exciting, and hopefully you'll enjoy hearing about it on the show. But yeah, I'm a little overwhelmed, a little, glad I have a lot of coffee in my house that I can work my way through. But, you know, it's like, speaking of shows two back, it's like I was talking about burnout. I'm not the kind of person who will go nuts about this. You know, it's like, I never want to work to a point that going to be, you know, sort of be unsustainable. So, but I'll just – I think my wife said it well. It's like you're probably going to work about the same number of hours. You're just going to be working twice as fast, you know, to kind of really be motivated and really be engaged. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, and I hope you join me for the ride. Thanks. Bye.